It's the Fabric Podcast. We've all got our own piles of heavy stuff in our lives, but over the next 6 weeks, we're looking at some of the big things that have been weighing many of us down. Rather than just bouncing from one topic to the next, we're spending a week hearing from a guest, and then a second week parsing, metabolizing, and practicing unearthing ourselves from that mound of stuff and doing it in community. Ian McConnell's first conversation partner is Jeff Thiemann, a representative of Braver Angels, to help us kick things off around the political polarization that surrounds us. Here's Ian.
Today we're starting the series called Unearthed. So we spent a few weeks talking about what does it mean to be rooted people, to be rooted in ourselves, to be rooted in community, and to be rooted in, we have these three-stranded conversations, self, others, and the divine, right? That which is beyond all, in all, around all. Sometimes we call it God. What does it mean to be rooted in all three of those pieces? And then we spent last week talking about buried. What are those overwhelming forces, that dirt that piles on us? And now we're starting Unearthed. And so Unearthed is going to be a series really about when we look at all that stuff, there's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot going on that feels just overwhelming. The stuff that feels like it's just piling on, it's too big for us to handle on our own, and we're probably not really equipped to handle it on our own, right? But what does it mean for us to pick our heads up and look out at these things with courage, knowing who we are, right, and whose we are together? And so as we go across these next 6 weeks of Unearthed, we're going to keep having this pile of dirt here because as things come up for you, maybe we're going to talk about something that makes your guts churn a little bit, that makes you feel uncomfortable. Maybe you want to crawl out of your skin a little bit or whatever. We believe that art and expression, we can't just hold that stuff in, right? Like, if I hold that stuff in here, it just sort of sits there and ferments, and I get drunk on my own rage, you know? Like, that's not cool. So one of the ways that we want to provide for you space to kind of metabolize that a little bit is through art. So over on that table over there, you'll find squares of paper. Every week it might change a little bit. Today we've got markers and crayons, and you can take it and bring it with you to your seat or put it on the floor and whatever, however you want to do that, and mark it up. If you want to write on it, you can journal, you can scribble, you can just destroy it, and then at some point, you can just throw it in the dirt, okay? We may do something with those across 6 weeks. We'll see what happens. But today we wanted to start with just a really light topic, with the political polarization that exists in our communities, in our world, and so we're gonna start with that. One thing to note is when we're talking about these difficult things like political polarization, or in a couple weeks when we talk about the climate crisis, or a couple weeks after that, when we talk about what does it mean, justice and peace in Palestine and Israel, and we'll talk a little bit about Gaza. These things that are coming up for us in conversations as I've been visiting groups and talking about what are the things that are just on you right now. To be noticing in ourselves, in our bodies, the ways that we might succumb to the desire to just fall into, like, despair on these issues, or denial, or doubling down on our positions. Notice those things in you. And maybe those are the places where you really want to go grab a square paper and journal on it, draw on it, rip it up, destroy it, however you want to do that. Okay, that invitation is out there to notice these things in ourselves. And with that, I'm very excited today to welcome to Fabric Jeff Thiemann, who is a pastor who is retired, but now not retired, really. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you.
So we're glad you are here. I'd love to invite you to introduce yourself a little further.
Great. Yeah. Well, I've moved here to Minneapolis 13 years ago to work for the National Church to run the benefits program. And what I have seen over the years, part of my job was education and lobbying in Washington for churches and church plans. And so I got a firsthand view of some of the things that were going on in Washington. And I got really frustrated with how hard it is to get things done. Mm-hmm. And part of that, a big part of that, is the polarization. And it's just become very, very toxic. Mm-hmm. So I'm a missionary kid, grew up in the Philippines and Ethiopia. And church has been an important part of my life. And I think that the church has a huge role to play in a positive way to be part of God's mission to impact the world in a positive way, to save the world.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Wow. No, that's amazing. I mean, we have been already, so I started at Fabric not long ago, in February. But already, as we've been talking about, what are the things that are really weighing on us, right? This divide that exists in political conversations, certainly, but kind of, it seems to me that everything is kind of politicized. There is a position to take on everything, right?
Yeah. And what's happened is that toxic polarization has infected almost every part of our lives. Mm. It impacts churches, it impacts school board meetings, local city councils, families. Families are being torn apart. For example, if you look back 50 years and asked, would you be opposed to your child marrying somebody of the opposite political party, it was almost not an issue. Mm-hmm. Today, it's a huge issue.
Yeah.
And so it's that recognition that the polarization has gotten so bad, that's why Braver Angels got started, was to look at tools that could help and impact that in a positive way. And then here in Minnesota, what we have done is we have started a campaign this year called Reduce the Rancor Minnesota, because election years are times when this stuff gets heated up. And we felt that we needed to step in and help reduce the rancor, lower the heat. Mm. But if you look at what's going on in polarization, the polarization in the United States has been on the rise for 35 years. So a significant rise for 35 years. I mean, think about it. If you're about 40 years old or younger, that's all you have ever known. Yeah. Is that tide. Think of it as a high tide. That tide of polarization has been on the rise for 35 years. So it's not one person, it's not one party right now, it's been on the rise.
Yeah.
What is different and especially dangerous about the polarization today is that it is what's called affective polarization. The polarization that we have today, it's the highest it's been since the 1850s. Hmm. And you know what happened after the 1850s? Violence,
yeah,
right? The
great.
Civil War. It broke out into national violence. So if we don't do something about this, we're likely to see the same thing. Back then, the polarization was more ideological and geographic polarization. What I mean by that is there were arguments about slavery, slave rights, mm-hmm. and state rights. And so those were the big arguments. And of course, it was the North and South. Today, we are experiencing what's called affective polarization. And there are three things that I'd like to highlight about what makes that so bad, so toxic. Number one is othering. And we tend not to think of the United States or this church or this family or this school. We put us and them. We talk about others. Mm-hmm. So you talk about connections. It's the opposite of connections. We are tearing that apart. So that's number one. Number two is contempt or disdain. And the way that shows up is that we tend to take as much joy or pride in the other person failing or even getting hurt as our side winning or succeeding. Mm-hmm. It's that changing from opponents to enemies where we are hoping for their downfall, their injury, right? And then the third is value judgment. If you and I are on the opposite side of a point of view, and we are experiencing that affective polarization, I not only think you're wrong, I think you're bad. I think you're immoral. There's no way that you could think that way. There's no way you could vote that way unless you were a bad person. Maybe an evil person, right? That's what we have gotten to. And so you can see how that affects every part of our world.
Yeah. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, as you're talking about this, like, okay, I need to breathe. Yeah. I mean, like, my grandparents were, my grandma was a Republican, my grandpa was a Democrat, and they joked about how they just cancel each other's votes out, and it was fine. I don't have many friends right now who could just joke about that. Right?
No.
Like, the heat is turned up.
Right. It was a joke about canceling each other's votes. Now it's not a joke about canceling each other.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, oof. So here's what I'm curious about, Jeff. Given that reality, I mean, for me, I'm 38. As you mentioned, this has been my entire life. And I, not even just in politics, but like I started college at the University of Minnesota, and our sports teams were awful, like just terrible, and haven't gotten a ton better. But the most joy I felt is when the Badgers lost. I still feel that way. but I don't, we're laughing about it, but, you know, that's not really a point of pride. Like, I'm curious what you through Braver Angels are doing. How are you addressing this stuff?
Yeah, so a lot of the work that we do really starts with looking at ourselves. And I think that that's really important because I think if you came into our house, you would, through our garage, which is how I do it, you know, park the car in the garage, on our door is a passage from Romans 12. Mm-hmm. And so St. Paul wrote to the Romans who were having conflict. And at the end of that verse, he says, as much as it is up to you, or as much as you have control over, I'm paraphrasing, but as much as it is up to you, live in peace with everyone. And I think about that. Well, what does that mean? I mean, obviously, philosophically, and as we think about living out our faith, that's what we're called to do, is to be peacemakers, right? Now the question is, how do you do it practically? And that's where Braver Angels has stepped in. Started in 2016, right after the 2016 election, and what has happened is Braver Angels has developed a number of workshops and, you know, online classes and so on that teach specific skills for us to engage with others. At a high level, I would describe it as learning to listen better and learning to speak better. If you think about learning to listen better, what that means is I learn how to be better at showing up and hearing what other people say, even if I don't agree with it, and learn to listen in a way that makes them feel heard, makes them feel honored, where I see my brother, my sister, in the opposite point of view. So that's one part. And then the second part is learning to speak. And I think that that's very appealing because who would not want to be more effective in getting your point across? Who would not want to be more effective in being able to explain your point of view in a way that it could be heard? And what we have found is that those skills, when they are practiced, those experiences have a measurable, lasting, positive impact on that tide of polarization. Mm-hmm. Think of it, we've got high tide, and what can we do together to push back the low tide, to, you know, lower the tide? And the Reduce the Rancor campaign here in Minnesota, we now have over 25 different partners. The goal is to build capacity across the state so that we can impact more people's lives. Mm-hmm. And teach those skills. And so it's all about capacity building. We have colleges and universities. We've got elected official organizations, school board association, nonprofits, and so on. And I'm just thrilled that you have chosen to take this on and start to ask that question, what role do I play? You know, what's going on in me where maybe I'm part of the problem and I could be part of the solution instead? But we, you know, what could we do together and how do we support each other? Yeah. Because I think it's really important to do that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it might be helpful as we're thinking about this to actually to kind of name some of the forces.
Yeah, it would. I agree.
Of polarization so that we can open up our imaginations a little bit to this.
The question I have for you is, you've all seen the forces and you see the sources of polarization. What are the ones that you're experiencing? What's on your heart where you are feeling that force or that source of polarization? What? And Chris has a microphone back there. And so if you would raise your hand, Chris will run over to you with a microphone. And I'd love to hear what you've been talking about. What are some of the sources of polarization that you're experiencing? What are the forces and sources that you are seeing? Who would like to get us going?
I'll go there. Trump.
Trump.
So much started when he entered the political arena.
Yeah, and you know, it's easy for us to name one person. And depending on what side of the aisle you're on, you're going to have your favorite or lack of favorite person to target there. And that's why I wanted to for us to recognize that this has been going on for on the rise for 35 years. I mean, the hockey stick started 35 years ago. But yeah, we can point to folks, and then we can decide how we respond to them, how much attention we give those folks there. Tribalism. Say more about tribalism.
You want to be part of something that's the winner.
Yeah, we all want to be part of something that's the winner. But then what we do sometimes, we take that further and we want the other side to lose. It's like the difference between hoping the other side loses and hoping the other side gets a serious injury, right? I mean, it's that kind of toxic tribalism. Mm-hmm. Yes?
When you're talking about othering, it just made me think of like homelessness and poverty. There's a very us versus them type of mindset that can...
Yeah, if we just don't identify, we don't see ourselves
exactly
there. I wonder if you also mean it's something that seems overwhelming.
Yeah, I think it's really overwhelming and it's very uncomfortable to think about, especially if you haven't experienced it yourself.
Right. And you know what you're bringing up there is that it's that breaking apart. Instead of being part of community, we tend not to understand, and then we don't know. We're not in relationship with folks that have a different life experience, a different perspective on those problems. And then that just makes it harder for us to treat each other as human beings, as children of God. Right, thank you. One more.
It's hard to frame it, not to frame it in terms of good and evil.
You're right, yeah. It's hard not to frame it in terms of good and evil. And because we all like to be good, and therefore the other side is evil. And and I maybe to pick up on that, we experience that coming at us too. Excuse me, that others will treat us as evil or look at us as evil. And what's our normal response when we're treated that way? Is to respond likewise, not the way we should, but the way that we easily fall into that. All right. So there's a lot of, and I'm sure we're just touching the surface here. But what I'm hearing from all of you is that you all have seen this, felt this, experienced this, probably in lots of different ways, in lots of different circumstances. And hopefully that with this idea of being unearthed, it's, what's something new? What good fruit could be born out of this darkness, this pressure, this seed, to bear something positive in this world?
Yeah. So what resources would you recommend, or what tools do you use through Braver Angels, for example?
Yeah, so we have Braver Angels, and I'd encourage you to go to the Braver Angels website. But we've got workshops. We have online e-courses that you can take. So, for example, you can take an e-course on families and politics. You can take one on social media. You can take one on a number of different areas where you can learn some skills. Broadly, what I would say, the first piece is to dive in and be better equipped. Because if we're better equipped, then, you know, as you said, you know, we have this good and evil. We're able to respond not as enemies, but we're better able to respond with some different skills. Mm-hmm. So we've got those e-courses. We have in-person workshops. If you look at the QR code on the paper, there is a workshop coming up next weekend that you could take. And they're all throughout all the whole year, but I know you're going to come back and talk about this next week. But there are also one-on-one conversations. I noticed that you want to have a conversation about what's going on with Israel and Palestine, mm-hmm. Gaza, and what's going on there. We have, it's pretty new, we have one-on-one conversations. We have 6 different topics, and one of them specifically is on Israel and Gaza. And what you can do is you can go and you can sign up and say, I look at it from this point of view, and I would love to talk with someone with another point of view. What we do, and this is, again, where I think the church can play an amazing role, is we create a container with Braver Angels. We create a container that allows for a productive, supportive conversation. And I think that that's what the church can do in so many ways. We, as the church, can be a place where we are filled with grace. We recognize that we're all sinners. We recognize that we need forgiveness as well, and we can extend that grace to one another as opposed to being a place where it's just all-out warfare.
Right. Yeah, it can feel a little sloppy, and I mean there's concern there in part, I think, because I think at a 10,000 foot level we can get there, like in ourselves in our thinking, we can get there. Like, yeah, we want to live in a peaceful community. We want to be connected and all that. And churches and like spiritual communities and places like Fabric can be places where that can happen, while also recognizing that the church has been a force of incredible polarization too, right? Where like, in order to become part of this community, you've got to sign your name on the dotted line that you believe X, Y, and Z, and if you don't, get the hell out of here, right?
Right.
Like there's some of that. And so I'm wondering, like, for you, as you think about this, for you personally, like, where do you struggle in this work to bridge the gap, right? To reach across difference and to, open-ended there.
Yeah. Well, I'm always right.
You too?
Yeah, me too.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
I mean, I like to be right, and I spend time studying things, and so I think that I've got a good perspective on my side and on your side,
and
I understand why you're wrong,
mm-hmm.
and you know, maybe even better than you do, and I'm happy to explain it to you if you don't know. Yeah, so that's one of the things for me is, you know, I think we all like to be right, it's like I've got 2 voices in my head. One is, you're right, you know, show them you're right, and then the other is, listen and be curious. You might be able to learn something,
mm-hmm.
and that requires humility. And so I know that in my own head, mm-hmm. in my own heart, I've got those 2 voices hard at work, because I do like to be right,
mm-hmm.
and so I try to slow down. Mm-hmm. I try to take a breath. I mean, it really is, taking a breath is actually just an amazing thing. You know, you think about the Spirit of God coming into you, but physiologically it's good. That's probably my Achilles heel, if you will, is that desire to be right. And I know that we all have that desire to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And that feeling that I'm right, I've got it all figured out, is what closes off relationships, it closes off curiosity. And so I've got to kind of think through that and say, no, I really do want to have those connections. I really do want to learn more from this person and understand, how did they come to this point of view?
Mm-hmm.
And do we have something in common?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get there if I'm just telling them they're wrong.
Yeah, right. This really, to me, is indicating that this is more than a short-term thing. Like, this is a marathon. It's a long journey. And I like the 100-yard dash, personally. Like, you asked me to run a marathon. Rachel would tell you, I don't run a marathon. but as we think about the work that we're scratching the surface of, these 6 weeks of Unearthed, and as we try to adopt a posture of open curiosity and not just saying, I'm right, you're wrong, right? What are some tools that you, or maybe what, how would you define that posture?
How to look at
us?
It?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I go back to what I said before about the tide. The tide of toxic polarization has risen to a new high since the 1850s. And so the question is, what would it take to turn the tide? When you think about turning the tide, that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I would welcome you to run a 100-yard dash.
Yeah.
We need those people to jump in, run, and then... But I'd invite you to come back and do it again, mm-hmm. and do it again, mm-hmm. and do it again. And there are people that can just stick with it for a long time. I think there's a place for all of us here.
Yeah.
And so when you think about that idea of a high tide, what we want to do is push back the tide. And so I would give you three things to think about, and it's ebb, E-B-B.
Okay.
Which, you know, is pushing, you know, the tide is ebbing, you know, mm-hmm. it's going back. So E stands for equip, and that is to take some time to equip yourself. You know, Paul talks about that in the letter to the Ephesians about how we need to equip ourselves. And I would say to enter into this polarized world and to make a positive impact, it does require some new equipping. Mm-hmm. And so E would be for equip.
Yeah.
B is brave.
All right.
You got to be brave. You got to be willing to take a step in. You know, take that first step, run that 100 yards. And so you got to be brave and be willing to enter into those conversations and not let them just sit and fester. And then the third B is brag. And what I mean by brag is to tell the story. We are hearing so much around us and in the media about polarization. We also have to tell another story. We've got to tell a story of depolarization. We have to tell a story of communities coming together. We've got to tell a story of grace and hospitality. So equip, mm-hmm. brave, and then brag, which I know that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah.
Is brag. Tell those stories.
That's right. We're actually going to do it next week. We're going to be a little braggy together. So as we go into this week, what's one step? Just one, not all the steps. What's one step that you can take to brave a conversation, right? What's one step that you can take? And actually, like, take that step this week. It doesn't need to be a big thing. You don't need to solve everything or, you know, reconcile a relationship or you fill in that blank for yourself. You don't need to do everything, but what's the one step that you want to take? And next week, what we're going to do is have some conversation of just storytelling. What have you done? What was the step you wanted to do? Did you do it? Did you find it successful? Did you swing and miss? And what might we all be able to learn because you took a step, took a brave step? So that's what we're going to do next week. And so I'll invite you to try to make some kind of little commitment in that way. What's the first 100 yards? With that, I think I'd like to just extend... gratitude for you, Jeff, for being here with us, for helping us kind of crack this open a little bit, and can we all give Jeff a round of applause and thanks?
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. May this simply be the start of the conversation. Reach out if you want help connecting with a group virtually or in the Twin Cities, and tag @FabricMPLS with your own thoughts on social media. You can also stay up to date and find other resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.